Blog Talk Radio.
Chocolate Lady 64, and I am hoping that you had a happy Valentine's Day after you've dug yourself out of all that snow, and a great President's Day. I enjoyed my time off because my birthday fell right up under that holiday, which I thought was great. And I say, my birthday? Yes, my beautiful birthday. It's a wonderful day for me. I took that off from work, and I'm in conjunction with President's Day, so everything seemed to work out great for me. I hope you guys got a chance to take advantage of all the sales that were out there. Well, you know, if you want to call in and have any comments, you know you can call this number at 347-677-1749, 347-677-1749, Chocolate Lady 64. And I do take all your comments. I mean, whatever you have to say, I'm listening. I don't mind. It doesn't bother me. Whether you like the show, if you don't, it would be great if I could get some feedback. And all the people out there who listen to my show, I really thank you. And for all the people who I have your show times, and I don't get a chance to listen to your shows all the time, but from time to time, I do go back and I listen to your other shows. And you guys are doing a great job. Some of you guys are at the level where I want to be. This is not a jealousy thing. It's just a thing that I want to be at that point where I'm comfortable and things are working out just right for me when it comes to doing my shows. Last week, I was very disappointed in everything that went on with my show except what I was talking about. My music and everything just really, really kind of teed me off. And after I listened to it, I was not happy at all. And I know it'll get better. And I say that. I've been saying that ever since I came on the air, and I know it, and I keep saying it for a reason, because I know it will get better. Okay, we're on our fourth segment, talking about slavery in the United States. And, you know, I love to recap and go back. We learned that the American colonists thought Africans were great with agriculture, and farming. It was in their blood. So that was another way to hold on to slaves. They wanted to justify the reason why they had slaves. And that they can be quickly, and that meant when you got married, you know, marriage is a bonding contract. You were not allowed as an African slave to bond or to have a contract because you were a piece of property. So your marriages were not legal. Lastly, we talk about our slaves that were not free, that died in the process, and how they missed out on a cultural lifestyle. They missed out on a history that's phenomenal, okay? And I can't say our hearts go out to them, but they probably, most of them, died trying to be free. And because they couldn't become free, they were punished for making that attempt. So they didn't get a chance to share, you know, a life with their family and friends. Okay, now, we're back on the fourth segment of Slavery in the United States. Now, as we know, many Europeans came to America to exercise their God-fearing rights and beliefs and to practice their religious freedom. Well, slavery, on the other hand, was a form of persecution, which in the eyes of the colonial America had to be justified. They didn't want to get their hands dirty. Therefore, the black slaves became an easily identifiable group targeted as being inferior. I want you to listen to these words they're using. They considered us. They considered us inferior, subhuman, and destined for servitude. Not destined for greatness, not destined for freedom, but destined for servitude. We will always have that, what we call slave mentality, quote unquote, and it comes from this, how they felt about us and how we feel about ourselves. The early Christian churches did not take up the cause of eliminating slavery until much later in the century. I wonder why. They didn't want, like I said before, get their hands dirty. The slave codes robbed the Africans of their freedom. There was a thing called slave codes that everybody had to live by. Okay. Robbed them of their freedom and the willpower. Slaves did resist this treatment. Therefore, strict and cruel punishment was on hand for all those who disobeyed their masters. Slaves, according to the slave codes, slaves were forbidden from carrying guns, taking food, striking their masters, and running away. All slaves could be flogged or killed for resisting or breaking the slave codes. These are the codes they made us live by. Of resistance was to run away. Many slaves ran off and lived in the woods or vast wilderness and the underdeveloped American countryside. This group of black runaway slaves were considered or called maroons, for they found remote areas in their forest and mainly lived off wild fruits and animal as food. Some of these maroons ran off, lived, and even married into segments of the Native American populations. Therefore, that's where we get our black Indians from. And I'm a very much witness that there is black Indians, especially down here in Louisiana. My grandfather is what we call a black Indian, or he was a black Indian. And I remember the issue of slavery evolved into a complex problem on American soil from 1800 up until the beginning of 1865. The conditions of servitude and the status of Africans were at stake, defining legal grounds of those people of African, of the people of African descent put Americans in a quandary. Would free Africans be welcomed into this developing democracy? The next 65 years produced a host of mixed events in their quest for freedom. Racial differences and previous conditions of servitude became an issue before the Republic. Now I'm going to stop for a second and give you a little song. And this time, hopefully, my songs will come out better than what they have been coming out with my... with the way I recorded the last time, I wasn't too happy with that. So let's give you a little bit. This is Sounds of Blackness, I believe, and I hope you enjoy it. A little bit of Sounds of Blackness, I believe. I hope you enjoyed that. Okay. Now we're going to carry on and we're going to talk about A Nation in Crisis in the Slavery Timeline. And there's some very good, interesting things with that. Events. I don't want to say things because these were basically events. Let's start with 1800. Gabriel Prosser attempts the slave rebellion in Virginia. And I think I read something about that. Let's see if I can find it. Gabriel Prosser was his name. Gabriel Prosser. Gabriel Prosser, in August of 1800, set out to free himself along with 1,000 other slaves. His plot was to kill most of the white residents and take the town of Richmond, Virginia. It is said that a sudden bad thunderstorm caused the slaves revolters to disband. Three other slaves also revealed the plot, and Gabriel Prosser and 36 of the slaves were identified, tried, and executed. Look how we were treated. All we wanted was freedom. That's all we asked for, was a little freedom. And we were going to take some people with us. But you had some persons that told and spoiled everything. And Mr. Prosser wound up getting hanged. Okay? Then it says, 1807, the British Parliament had put a stop to shipping and trading African slaves. Somebody, either they were tired of doing it, they found that it wasn't feasible, they found out that it wasn't feasible anymore to ship them back and forth. It was probably more of a risk taking them back and forth getting them from Africa or wherever it was that they were getting them from and bringing them back to the United States. And then again, it was probably to control how many Africans that were in the United States, too. We have to think about that. Okay, by 1808, the Congress of the United States made it illegal to bring more slaves into the country. Still, the smuggling of Africans as slaves into the United States continued well into the 1800s. Remember, the Amistad slave incident happened in 1839. So slave trading within the states continued up until the day of the emancipation of 1863. By 1812, the British, as a payback to the American colonists, offered the Africans a chance to win land and be free if they fought on their side during the War of 1812. Isn't that something? You can be a free man if you fight in a war with us. Now, if they were free and they died in battle, were they really free? You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm wrong. And then they didn't even live long enough to even enjoy the freedom. We have to keep that in mind, too. 1819, the Canadian government refused to cooperate with American government by not allowing them free access to pursue escaped slaves living in Canada. So the slaves that escaped would move to Canada. And as you can see, Americans weren't allowed to come up there and get them, which to our credit was a good thing. Now, 1820, the Missouri Compromise was adopted, allowing Missouri to enter the Union as a slave-holding state and Maine as a free-bearing state. The Missouri Compromise kept the number of free slaves, free states and slave states balanced. Isn't that something? That's how the United States was divided, by free and slave states. 1822, Denmark Vesey, arrested for planning a slave rebellion in South Carolina. Denmark Vesey had obtained his freedom by the year of 1800. He was so disturbed by the whole system of slavery that he wanted to destroy all vestiges of its doing. He wanted a full-fledged war using armed slaves to kill white slave owners in the city of Charleston, South Carolina. By 1822 and after several years of planning, Vesey's ideal to attack, liberate the city was revealed. One participant's forced confession led to Vesey's and several of his co-conspirators' arrests. All of them were tried and hung. South Carolina then passed laws to bar free blacks from entering the state due to the Denmark Vesey's alleged plot. So, a free slave, he's no longer a slave, a free African was not allowed to go to another state to encourage or stir up non-free slaves to want to be free. Okay. Then 1831, Nat Turner leads a slave rebellion in Southampton, Virginia. Nat Turner had a religious zeal and a belief that he was the chosen one to free himself and his slave brethren. This 31-year-old preacher to the slaves devised a plan of terror and devastation. He organized a revolt His organized revolt became America's most famous and violent act involving slave resistance. On August 21, 1831, Nat Turner and six other slaves killed Turner's plantation master and his family in Southampton County, Virginia. Turner increased his supporting band of slaves as they went about killing a total of 60 slave owners, including their wives and children. Federal and Virginia state troopers encountered the roving band of slaves and killed most of them in the rebellion. Other slaves not connected to the rebellion were also killed. So they was just killing everybody because they were so angry that slaves killed slave owners and their family. An estimate of over 100 slaves were killed that probably didn't have anything to do with it. But Nat Turner escaped. He was hunted down as he hid out in the swamps for almost 3 months. He was finally captured and executed on October 30th, 1831. Wow. So these people wanted to be free. They knew in their mind that they shouldn't have been locked up or shouldn't have been a slave. They knew that. But a lot of them were traded. And I told you what they were traded for, and it was amazing. They were traded for bees, gin, or whiskey, or rum. Come on. What? I mean, to me, that was just, I don't know. But let's go back to the word subhuman. We were a piece of property, not human beings. And I say we because that's my ancestral. This is my ancestral journey from slavery. So I can say this is me or my people. I can't say it any other way. I know this. I look at my wide nose. I know I am black. There's nothing white about me. I know I am black. I might have something in my family, but my nose tells it all in my big, beautiful lip. I love it. Okay, enough about me. Now, by 1833, the American Anti-Slavery Society was established in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The British Parliament abolished slavery in the entire British Empire during this year. So the Brits got the message. They didn't know they no longer wanted to be involved in the slave trade or have slaves. Then what happened was Armistead insurrection happened in 1839. And you know what Armistead meant. And you know what when that happened. That happened when at the time they were still smuggling slaves and they weren't supposed to. And he led an uprising, I think, on the ship. Let me get his name right. The Armistead is the name of the ship. I apologize. Let's see. Make sure. Reading the right thing here. Yeah. Yeah, Armistead was the name of the ship. It wasn't the person. Okay. Here it goes. The Armistead, it was called the Armistead Insurrection. This true-to-life mutiny took place in the year of 1839. The La Amistad, a slave-bearing Spanish vessel, was carrying 53 captives, 49 men, one young girl, and three children, all previously taken from African country of Sierra Leone. When the insurrection occurred, they belonged to the Mende village in West Africa. The insurrection started when the ship La Amistad was taking the slave captives from Cuba to a slave market in South America. La Amistad was sailing in the Caribbean when Sigby, a 25-year-old African later given the Spanish name Joseph Sink, was able to free himself and other captives from their chains. During the dark night, they went on deck and killed the captain and his cook. Two other crew members were saved and directed by Sink to turn the ship back toward their homeland to Africa. Instead of going toward Africa, the ship was steered to the shores off of Montauk, Long Island. Here the ship docked for food and water, but it was noticed by the American naval ship USS Washington. The captain named Richard Meade ordered the ship to dock over at New England, Connecticut on August 27, 1839. New York was bypassed as a docking area due to slavery being illegal in the state. Connecticut still had not abolished slavery at that period. The importance of Amistad insurrection brought the focus of slavery to the attention of many more free Americans. The abolitionists were looking for evidence of cruelty and the evil profiteering involved in slavery. The abolitionists wanted slavery abolished in America, and an 18-month legal battle ensued, and the blacker Africans did not seem to have a chance of gaining their release from prison as the ones accused of murder and mutiny aboard the ship. La Amistad, they were going to be tried by court of law and sent back to slavery in Havana, Cuba. The Cubans and the Spanish government were diplomatically trying to forced President Martin Van Buren to sidestep any conflicts between America and Spain and send the murderous Africans back to the slave port in Cuba. The technicality was that Spanish law had by 1817 prohibited the importation of slaves into any of its territory, including the colony of Cuba. This true-to-life drama escalated into one of America's most fascinating court cases. Attorney Roger Sherman Baldwin of New Haven, Connecticut, was able to secure a translator of the Mede language to help with the actual documentation of Singh's journey and the others being kidnapped in Africa, where they were put into a hold of Portuguese slave ship, the Tacora, and sent via the Middle Passage to Cuba. The highest point of the Amistad incident came when the case reached the U.S. Supreme Court and the former U.S. President John Quincy Adams, at 73, nearly blind, was cajoled into fighting the case. His 8.5 hours of astute testimony won the acquittal verdict. They were illegally enslaved, their papers were forged, and they were never Spanish-speaking Cuban slaves. The verdict favored Singh and 35 surviving Mende Africans. Before leaving Connecticut, Singh, with an interpreter, spoke at several abolitionist town meetings. Money was raised, and the town's Congregational Church of Farmington, Connecticut, helped Africans on their voyage back to Sierra Leone in the month of November 1841. Man! See, I never understood that whole story. I know I heard about it. They made a movie about it, but I never understood the whole story. I understand the whole story. Awesome. Awesome. I love that word because it means so much. How about let's hear some music? I love that. I need some good music. I love that. I love the ending to that. I love the ending to that. That was a great ending. You got to. I mean, awesome. Keep your head to the skies and the sounds of blackness. I hope you enjoyed the sounds of blackness. You keep your head to the sky. I think that story, it felt right in place. I love that story. I never knew that whole story. That's why I said, in the process of me bringing this information to you guys, I'm learning in the process. A lot of this stuff, I hadn't had a chance to, I can truly confess that I didn't read all of what I put together, but I'm glad that I did, and I read it to you guys. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Man, I never knew that happened. I just heard of the story, and I don't remember. I remember the movie, but I don't think I ever really watched the movie. So now I understand. That is a great story. Okay, let me come back down a little bit there. By 1850, the Compromise of 1850 again brought up the issue of slavery. California entered the Union as a free state, but the territories of New Mexico, Utah, and Texas were allowed to decide as individual states the choice of being a slave state or a free state. 1850 also saw the passage of another much stricter fugitive slave law being put into effect. So, okay. Then it says by 1852, Harriet Beecher Stowe published her novel, Uncle Tom's Cabin, which became the best-selling book and a major influence for the anti-slavery movement. And let's see what it says about her here. It says, Harriet Beecher Stowe, from 1811 to 1896, did wonders for the anti-slavery movement. Her serialized publication of Uncle Tom's Cabin first appeared in the National Era weekly newspaper starting June 2nd of 1851. It became so popular in 1851, she decided to do a completed version as a published book by March 1852. The entire printing of 5,000 copies was sold out the first week it appeared in Boston, Massachusetts. The demand suddenly took hold, and before the summer of 1852 ended, Harriet Beecher Stowe's novel had earned her over $10,000 in royalties. The demand for her book required a production of over 300,000 copies within the first year. Several transitions were done, and suddenly the world community knew about the cruel and inhuman treatment of enslaved blacks in America. Whoa. Harriet Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin was based upon the life and narrative of Josiah Henson, a runaway slave. History, you guys, history, history, awesome, awesome history. You guys, we were famous in every part of this, we were famous. And I say we as a people, we were famous. We made stuff happen. Now, then after that happened in 1854, it was like year after year we were doing something. The Dred Scott case took place. Now, this was by 1854, the Dred Scott case brought a setback to the abolitionist movement. Dred Scott, a slave, was taken by his master into the free states of Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Scott stayed out of Missouri, his slave state, for 4 years. His claim was that he was an established person on free soil. The lower courts ruled against Scott. The case eventually went to the Supreme Court of the United States. Again, the ruling was unfavorable. Chief Justice Roger B. Taney, a resident of Maryland, and the other justices ruled that Dred Scott could not bring suit in federal court because he was a Negro, not just a slave. No Negro, whether slave or free, could ever be considered a citizen of the United States within the meaning of the Constitution. Whoa. Thus, Scott's real problem was not his servitude, but his race. The outspoken blow was a positive message for the South in that slavery in America was not going away, but was a legal part involved with the American way of life. What a decision to make. Not only did the lower court, but even the Supreme Court said no. Oh, you can be You're not considered he wasn't. Let's say this again. Let me repeat it. The Supreme Court didn't care whether he was a free or non-free slave. It was the ideal that he was a Negro. Isn't that something? In America, United States, you wonder, the sins of our brothers and our sisters, the sins of our fathers and the sins of our mothers is right here, plain as day, okay? Now, okay, the year of 1857 was slavery and freedom and was hanging in the balance. Because some people were slaves, some people were free. 1859, John Brown broke into the Federal Armory at Harper's Ferry, Virginia. Let's see what he did. It says, 1859, an unsettling event happened. John Brown, the dogmatic white abolitionist from Kansas, attacked slavery as an issue which he felt could only be resolved using acts of violence. He sought after justice to the slavery issue using biblical scriptures in the Old and New Testament of the Holy Bible. Without blood, there is no remission of sin. The Federal Armory at Harper's Ferry, Virginia, was the chosen place. The plot was to take the ammunition and weapons and kill all and free the slaves. October 17, 1859, 22 men on foot cut the telegraph lines and broke into the armory. Colonel Robert E. Lee, who later became Confederate General Lee, was summoned to the armory with his troops. The raiders held out for a day and a half. Lee's troops stormed the armory, and 10 raiders were immediately killed. Two of John Brown's sons died in the action, along with 4 out of the 5 black volunteers who took part in the raid. Shields Green, Lewis Leary, John Copeland, Dangerfield Newby. By some fluke, the last black volunteer, Osborne Anderson, escaped and later joined the Union Army during the Civil War of 1861 to 1865. 4 other raiders also escaped. John Brown and 6 others were captured and hung on December 2, 1859. The John Brown hanging elevated him as a martyr for the abolitionist cause. During the time of the raid, he had grown a long beard. Thus, he was called the Moses of abolitionist movement. Whoa. Never heard of this part either. But see, that's why I said it's a learning thing. Never, never think that you cannot learn more about your history. Your history is awesome. I have in my library a book called, if I'm not mistaken, The Encyclopedia of Black History. The book is so big, I can't pick it up, okay? Wherever I'm sitting, I open it up and look in it because I'm not going to take it anywhere. Awesome. You guys, it's an older version of it, but it's the ideal. It's got all our history just deep down inside there, pages and pages of our history. And it's a learning thing. I never stop learning. Never stop learning. Okay, I'm going to stop there. I thought I was finished with this, but I want to talk a little bit more about it next week. We're going to probably go over the election of 1860, and I think that's when we're talking about Abraham Lincoln. He was elected president at that time. We're going to talk about Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, North Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Virginia succeeds. Formation of the Confederate States of America, attack on Fort Sumter. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Let's see. I want to go into, if I can, a commercial without all this extra stuff going on in front of me, which always there is. I can find the commercial. You're probably saying, why can't she just have all her stuff in front of her? It's not that easy. Like I said, I'm learning.
I'm teaching myself, and my son is teaching me a lot too. He's working with me on everything I do, just about. And I love that about him. He always asks, "Mom, is there anything I can do for you?" And I have to tell him, "No, I got it." Let's see. It's interesting stuff. I'm just like really right now, and I'm refreshed. I am so refreshed because I had no idea this was going. God is good. Maybe that's the way I need to say it. God is good. Because the stuff that I'm learning here, I mean, it's just awesome.
Hey, ladies, do you love looking beautiful? Do you like looking sexy? Would you love to shop from the privacy of your home? Well, I have a deal for you. Waist lace wigs and lingerie by Jenny. Beautiful lace wigs in a variety of colors and styles. You can also order custom style wigs also. When you finish ordering your wigs, you can then order some sexy lingerie. Also comes in a variety of styles and colors. You can achieve your beauty when you visit Lace Wigs and Lingerie by Jenny. Coming soon to a website near you. Lace wigs and lingerie by Jenny.com. Okay. Now, I think I want to get another song in, and I want to go see what we got here. I think I got time for one more song. Let's see. Okay, we're going to play A House Is Not a Home by Candy Duffer, saxophonist. That's what I'll call her, a saxophonist.
Thank you.
I really, truly hope you enjoyed this show just as much as I did. I'm looking forward to talking with you guys next week. Chakra Lady 64 is checking out. You guys have a nice evening and a great weekend. Good night.